please do not turn off. Please do not. Just do not exit the podcast. Just stay in the podcast.
Please listen carefully.
Hi, everybody, and welcome in to the Off the Top of My Head podcast, a podcast just about anything and everything. I find interesting people with interesting topics and record in interesting places, and it's all off the top of my head. So whatever you're doing right now, thank you for bringing me with you. And now, let's get in to today's episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome into this episode of Off the Top of My Head. My name is Bill. I am here today in beautiful Boyertown, Pennsylvania. As many of you know, we are in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and Boyertown is one of those great small towns that is really going through a revitalization. And you know, I always like to interview interesting people and be in interesting places, and I am definitely in one today. This place is really cool. So I wanted to introduce my guests. Actually, I've been in the habit now of letting my guests introduce themselves. So I will let you introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rachel Kaler. I'm the owner of the Peppermint Stick Candy Store right here in beautiful Boyertown.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thanks for having me today. This is awesome. I literally feel like a kid in the candy store.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
Right? Right? So, So I you know, growing up, it's weird because growing up, I never ate a lot of candy. My mother was always putting out a very kind of healthy, you know, diet for us. And as I got to be an adult now, it's like I am all in, all candy, probably a little bit too much.
See, that's what we call bad parenting. No, bad, just
kidding. Yeah, I know, right? Right. But already looking around here, I see some great things. And what we're going to do, Rachel and I we're sitting here starting the initial part of the conversation, but we are going to walk around the store a little bit. And I know it's a podcast and you can't physically, you know, see what we're looking at, but we're going to do our best to describe. And I know even talking prior to the podcast, you have some interesting story about some of the candies that you have here.
Yeah, and that's like the one thing that I really enjoy about having a candy store is the candy all has its own story, but everyone has their personal relationship with candy as well. Like people come in all the time and they're like, oh, when I was little, I used to do this, or, you know, I used to do that, or we would get this and then go to the park. So I don't know why, but candy really connects with people.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. So tell me, so you and I have known each other for several months now. Mm-hmm. And outside of the small networking group that we're a part of every Friday morning, I don't know a whole lot about you. And I think this is going to be a great opportunity to get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
But I want to unpack why the peppermint stick, why a candy store, why Boyertown. So okay. Start wherever you'd like.
Sure. So I've worked for a catering company for 11 years, and I loved that job. I loved my boss, but she started to have some health problems. And then when we had the market crash, she was struggling a little bit, and she just decided, I'm retiring, I'm throwing in the towel. So I was trying to find the right niche for myself, and I worked at a couple other places. One was actually a farm where we went into the inner cities and we taught kids about farming. And I really loved that job, but I always felt stifled. Like, when you work for someone else, you're doing what they tell you to do.
Sure.
So I, you know, and there I was a manager, and I would go to her with ideas, and she would listen to me a lot. But like I said, it's someone else's dream. It's their business, and they get what they put into it. Whatever I put into it, I'm still making the same amount per hour. So I think also my whole family is full of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's just in my DNA.
Yeah.
So I was in Boyertown one day, and I saw people getting off the Colbrookdale Railroad, and they were looking up and down the street for something to do after they rode on the train. And I thought to myself, we're going to start to get a lot of tourists in this town. Mm-hmm. What could I do to jump on this bandwagon and take advantage of it? So I took some time, talked with my husband, thought, what is something that appeals to the tourists but also the locals? I thought candy. Every tourist town has a candy store. Mm-hmm. So we took a lot of time to go around, and we visited like different candy stores, chocolate shops, and really put the effort into how do we want the feel of the store to be, what product do we want to focus on, who do we want to appeal to. And my husband and I both love historic things or vintage things. My husband's specialty actually is historic construction.
Okay.
So he restores barns and old buildings and stuff. So that's also, I guess, in our blood.
Sure.
Yeah. So we wanted to have a throwback of an old candy store / general store. Mm-hmm. My husband actually built all the fixtures that you see in here, so he's very talented.
Yeah, this is very cool. You know, so when you walk in, there's these great, like, wide plank, hard floors, very, you know, dark wood and stained. It has a lot of character to it. And you have the countertops are, again, they're dark with the dark stain and the glass. It does have a very nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah, and actually, almost all the fixtures are made with historic barn siding. So a lot of times when you buy furniture, it'll say, oh, made of barn siding, but that siding never hung on a barn. Like this, the wood here actually hung on a barn and had been on a barn for hundreds of years. So like when he has a job where he resides the barn, he always saves that barn siding. Mm-hmm. So you can see like how beautiful the wood comes out once you plane it. So that I think that's what really makes it look old.
Yeah, this is it has quite a bit of character on it, which I think is awesome. So you had the vision, like you knew what this was going to look like. Yeah.
Well, like I said, we took a lot of time. We researched pictures. We went into other candy shops, and like it's funny. Like one of my favorite pieces that he built is the hutch that we keep our seasonal candy on. Mm-hmm. And there's actually like drawers that pull down, but the way they pull, it's not like a regular drawer that pulls out. It actually pulls down on a slant. And that was a little tricky for him, but I saw that at the Cabela's general store. Mm. And I was like, that is so neat, because you could keep them closed and it still looks like a nice display piece, or sure, you can open it and it perfectly displays the bags of candy. So
that's very cool. Yeah. He does amazing work.
Thank you. Absolutely
amazing work. And maybe we'll drop his contact information
sure. In
the show notes if anybody wants to reach out to him. Yep. So you have this vision. You know you wanted to open up a candy store. So what were the steps that you took? Like how did you get to here, essentially?
Well, I had a plan. So I don't know if this was an official business plan, but in my mind, I had the plan.
Yeah, most entrepreneurs do.
Yeah, and then I think probably like the first thing was finding the space, because as I said, my husband custom built everything. So we actually built all these pieces to like fit the first location that we are at. So our penny candy display, that actually, the first location we were at, there was like a walk-in fireplace, which obviously was not functional, but he built that, so it was originally an insert into that fireplace. Mm-hmm. So we found the location, we figured out, okay, this is the size of the different pieces that he was going to build. And then the first thing I did, I think, then was going to a candy expo, because I really had no idea, where do I find all this candy?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, so that was really neat, and I think that was probably, if I ever get diabetes, I'm going to trace it back to that first candy expo. It was really neat. You pretty much walk around, and this is down in Atlantic City, and it's just vendor after vendor of different candy companies, okay. And they're all trying to get you to sample their candy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I think I probably ate like 4 pounds of different candies that day. But I found a lot of great products by doing that, like our gummy bears. Mm-hmm. That's one of our most popular items in the store.
Okay.
So they're made in the United States, and it says world's best on the box, so you know that's true.
Sure, absolutely.
But they're separated by individual flavors. So there's like pineapple, pink grapefruit, cherry. So like you can pick the flavors that you like. Mm-hmm. And they're so fresh and soft. Like that's one of the things I think that really brings people back in, that creates those loyal customers for us.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, the freshness of the candy. I mean, the last thing you want to do is go to a candy store and gnaw on something that has been on the shelf for, you know, 6 months and is stale or hard or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so you went to the candy show, and what happened after that?
Well, I did reach out to SCORE, and I did get a SCORE mentor who really helped me a lot. I think I had a small business before, so I knew how to, like, register the business name and get everything I needed through the IRS, but it was really good for me to have someone to kind of just, I guess, maybe question, like, you know, do you think this is a good idea? Or like one of the things that he did say to me, and I don't regret this looking back, but I originally started on a side street, and he did question that a lot for me. Mm-hmm. Which in the really looking back, I mean, it probably would have been better for me to start out on the main, but it was, that location was so appealing because the rent was so cheap.
Sure.
And I just had no idea if this was going to work or not.
Right. So it's one of those things where you kind of you go into that space, you develop your brand, and then you make the decision to move here.
Yep. Well, actually, I was
yes and no. So here we go with the entrepreneurial journey.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. One thing: anyone who is thinking of owning their own business and renting, really research your landlord. So we didn't really particularly click with the landlord. So, but in the looking back on it, it really was the best thing. It kind of forced us into moving to this location out on the main street, which is, I love my landlords here. They're amazing. It gave us the ability to add ice cream into our inventory, and that's really helped us a lot. Something I'm actually wanting to continue to expand on. Also, we're on the main street. We have great parking here. So sometimes when you have problems, it really ends up being the best thing for you.
Yeah, yeah, great.
And that was one of the situations.
Sure. So when did you move into this space then?
March, well, okay, I'm thinking back. Well, we're almost up on our lease of 3 years, and that would be September. Okay. So I guess about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. And I know there's quite a few attractions in town that, you know, the railroad being one, that has enjoyed a massive resurgence. For those folks who have never been to Boyertown, I mean, the Colebrookdale Railroad is this old historic railroad stop. They've purchased several cars and refurbish the cars, and they have rides that go throughout the entire year. And, you know, again, people come from all over the place.
Yes.
People come from New Jersey, they come from Maryland, they come from, I mean, you don't have to live in this community to ride on the Colebrookdale Railroad.
Yeah, and actually that was part of the reason we wanted to go with that historic feel, because, I mean, when you walk through Boyertown, it's beautiful. We have all these beautiful Victorian buildings with turrets, and there's so much beautiful architecture when you're walking around. We have this historic railroad. We also have a historic car museum. It's the Boyertown Museum of Historic Vehicles, which is great, too. Like, I love it. They have so many neat things over there. Like, they have one of those bicycles with the big wheels.
Yeah, the penny farthing, they're called.
Yeah, and there's actually, like, steps. You can go up these steps, and then you can sit on it and get your picture on it.
Very cool.
And they have a diner. It's Fageley's Diner. It originally was in Reading. But they have that in the car museum, and they restored it. So there's so many neat things, you know, along with the cars, too.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
But also, my husband and I, we are both on the board of the Boyertown Area Historical Society. So
it's appropriate.
Yep. The Historical Society now is open on Saturdays, and we are also getting another museum in Boyertown. It's the Carl Spatz Museum. Carl Spatz was a World War II general that grew up here in Boyertown. And actually, a neat history blurb. His father owned the Boyertown Democrat, which was the newspaper when we had the Opera House fire. Mm-hmm. And he stepped in and helped his father run the paper during that time. So,
oh, wow, like, interesting.
Yeah, there's just a lot of neat history that overlaps. And
But you're on the board there. Are you involved in anything else in town? I feel like every breakfast that we're at, you're always talking about something.
Yes.
So, go ahead. What else are you involved in?
Also on the board of the Berksmont Business Association. So that's the business organization. I would say like our main base is Boyertown, but it covers any business in the Boyertown Area School District. So I've done a lot of effort to try to bring more people into Boyertown. And we have a lot of great businesses here other than like the larger attractions. Like we have a really neat holistic center. We have a used bookstore, which they're becoming very rare nowadays. Mm-hmm. So that's a really neat place to stop. A beef jerky shop, a gift shop. We have a pet store. So like, it's a really neat place. If you have the time, you come out, ride the railroad, you know, go see the car museum, walk around town and all the little shops. Mm-hmm. Great restaurants, great bakery.
Yeah.
So.
And that's wonderful. And you know, when I first met you, like I think you had said to me, you're like, you know, why me? You know, why do you want to interview me, sort of thing? And this is why. Like, mm-hmm. You're so interesting. You had this vision. Did you want to get the phone?
No.
Just let it go, right? So this is why I wanted to interview you, because you're such an interesting person, and you had this vision. Again, you love the town, but you had the vision of what you wanted to make it here in Boyertown.
Yes.
And I think that's so great. But you're involved in some other stuff too. I know you are.
Yeah. Well, my baby right now is we started doing wine walks in town. So I'm just backtracking a little bit. 2 years ago, me and a couple other of the business owners, we started organizing art walks, which were really fun. Any business who wanted to participate, we just hosted an artist, and the artist would set up, and they had their different art for sale, and people could walk around and look at it and purchase. So that was a really good event, but I think for a monthly event, it kind of started trickling to be less attendance the longer it went on. So definitely think it's something we should have here and there still. But I thought to myself, there's got to be something, you know, something that, you know, people want to come out to all the time. And Jason Hugg, who owns Reading Magazine, came to me and he said, you know, in West Reading, they do these wine walks. And he goes, I think this would be something that would go over really well in Boyertown. Mm-hmm. So I started a committee, which it is through the BMBA, the Berksmont Business Association. We started organizing these wine walks. And it's been such a great thing because the way we organize it is, so it's $10 per ticket, but we partner with one of the nonprofits in our area, and half the money goes to a nonprofit. So we've been raising between $500 and $900 per month for a nonprofit. Last year we had the State Theater, which is a nonprofit movie theater we have here in Boyertown. Mm-hmm. The money went, you know, I think they were like $800 to $900. We also benefited the Boyertown Lions EMS. So
okay.
Ambulance is very important.
Sure,
we want to make sure we support them.
Yeah.
But United Way, the Boyertown Foundation for Education. So there's a lot of different groups that have benefited. And the businesses love it because it brings, you know, 100 to 200 people out into the business, you know, on a Friday night.
Sure.
So that's, we're trying to find ways. Like, we have a lot of great things in Boyertown, but I think we're still a hidden gem. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to find ways to get people's attention, to bring them in, to get them to pull over and park and spend some time in the town.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it's just fantastic that you're a business owner and you want to be so involved. I mean, you're involved in so many different things. You could have just came in here, opened up your doors and said, oh, we'll see what happens sort of thing. We'll let people walk in. But you are actively, you know, promoting yourself. You're actively promoting Boyertown.
Yeah.
Which I think is really special. It takes a special kind of person to do that. So kudos to you.
Well, I think part of it is too, like, I really like, and the other business owners here in town, I feel like, you know, we've become friends. So you want to see them succeed as much as yourself. And, you know, for example, if there's a ton of people going into the bookstore, most likely they're going to walk around and come into my store. So, like, I want to see her succeed as just as much as myself, or the same with the bakery or the beef jerky store or the consignment shop. You know, the more shops that people want to walk around and go to, the more overflow we'll get from each other.
Yeah.
And that's the other nice thing is I think all of us say, hey, go to this place when you're done, or stop here. So we all do support each other.
Yeah, yeah. Has anybody ever called you a leader?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes I've had, actually, it's funny because I had somebody say, well, you know, when you put yourself on the front lines, you're going to get shot. So it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But no, I think you display those leadership qualities. I mean, it's just, you know, you want other businesses to succeed just as much as you are. It's that selfless disposition for life and for business that, you know, makes you special and makes you a leader of this community. So.
Yeah.
Again, I don't get that it's intentional from you. I mm-hmm. think it just comes natural.
Yeah, and for some reason, I just have to be involved.
Yeah.
Sometimes my husband yells at me about that.
Yeah, it kind of divides the time a little bit.
Well, but that's why we're a good team, because he's definitely, like, the more introverted and I'm more extroverted. So, like, it kind of evens, we even each other out. Like,
sure.
I push him out of his comfort zone, and he kind of pushes me to, like, step it back a little bit.
Sure,
so
sure.
So it works out good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you opened the store a few years ago, so kind of take it from there. You opened the doors.
Yep.
You had obviously had some inventory that you were working with. Did you expand your selections over time? Or?
Yeah, we definitely have expanded. I have to say, like, from day one opening the door, it's been an amazing experience. I mean, you always have your ups and downs, but, like, for example, when we opened, we did the organization in town that does the ribbon cuttings, Building a Better Boyertown. I correlated my ribbon cutting with our grand opening, and we actually had, well, it was funny, backing up a little bit, for Valentine's Day, we only had our counter and our chocolate case built. when we rented our space. So I thought, we'll do like a little soft opening for Valentine's Day with just some chocolates. So we did that, and after that I put paper up over all the windows so no one could see him. So then we finished, got the rest of the displays done, got all the inventory set up. So at, when we did the ribbon cutting, that's when we took all the paper down off the window, and there was actually a line of people out on the sidewalk. It was so, it was amazing.
That's
and,
so cool.
They said it was the most attended ribbon cutting other than, I guess the, when the bakery opened at Freecon Farms. So that really meant a lot to me, and we've always had great customers and great fans, and I think that's a big thing too is, you know, you're building a brand. It's not just like, you can go into Walmart and buy candy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we're building a brand here. When you walk in, there's a feeling. You come in with your family, you can enjoy it, versus just going to the store and buying candy.
Yeah,
so,
and you're absolutely right. And again, you're part of that brand.
Yeah.
Like, you make you make that brand, which is, again, it's phenomenal.
I know. That's a catch-22, though, because sometimes I do like to have other people work for me. But I have found a couple great people working for me that have great personalities and, you know, are really great to the customers as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. So. All right. Cool. Cool. So. Well, what else do you want to tell me about the store?
So a couple other things. I know we were talking about earlier. I was telling you about how last year I had an intern from the high school. Her name was Amanda Murray.
Yes.
And she was really great. And one of the things that we were working on together were nostalgic candy packages. So what I had Amanda do was she would write a blog for me about, like, the different candy. So you can go onto our website and read some of the blogs that we have up. But I was telling you earlier a story. We just got some nostalgic gums that just came back.
Yeah, so let's, we're seated at the moment, but let's get up and actually walk over there and show me some of the gums here. Tell me the story that we were saying earlier.
Yeah, so I just have recently been researching. The three gums that just came back out are Clove, Beemans, and Blackjack.
Okay.
The Blackjack's probably the most popular, but I found some really neat stuff on the Beemans gum. It actually, Beemans gum came out in the late 1800s, so right around the time, you know, flight started. And once around World War One, when planes started going up higher into the air, it actually became really popular with pilots because when they needed to, like, adjust the pressure in their ear, chewing gum helped regulate the pressure. Also, Beemans was made with pepsin, which helps, like, if you're not, you know, helps with digestion and if you're feeling a little nauseous,
yeah.
One of the really neat things I found when I was researching was that Amelia Earhart loved this gum. So when she disappeared, whatever happened to her, she probably had Beemans with her.
She probably had it in her flight jacket,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just really neat little history blurbs like that. I think really makes you connect with the products.
Sure. And for those who are interested in, you know, looking at Rachel's blog, that Beemans is spelled B-E-E-M-A-N-S. And it comes a little five pack. If, you know, some of my older listening audience is familiar how, like, Wrigley's used to come packed, you know, five sticks to a package there. So so definitely worth trying. Yeah. Any other candies here? I mean, we're standing in front of quite a array of sweets here.
Yeah. Well, I think let me have you come over here to one of our most popular areas, which this is our penny candy selection. Okay. So, as I said, this is another piece my husband's built, but it's really important to us that the kids or adults get to come in and they get their little brown bag and they come over to the penny candy section and they get to count and, like, pick, like, okay, I have a dollar, so I want, you know, two of these, one of those. That way they have that same experience, you know, that their parents or grandparents had when they were kids. And the other reason this was really important to me is I noticed I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and kids nowadays don't handle money at all. First off, most parents have credit cards that you're using. Secondly, even at the school, like, when I was a kid, I remember, oh, if I have 45 cents, I can go get a popsicle or I can get a soft pretzel. They don't do that anymore. Now it's just accounts. So the kids just go up and then they just put it on their account and they have no concept of how much money they're spending.
Right.
So I thought this is a great way for the kids to be able to come in and really make that decision on how am I going to spend my money. It seems silly, it's just candy, but that's an important, you know, strategy to be able to have in the rest of your life.
Sure, it's a small lesson. And, you know, for those, I am in the financial services industry, and to be able to teach that to some younger children or even younger adults is really critical. We always feel like the the kids' education is just as good as whatever the parents teach them.
Yeah.
Because they don't really get that type of education elsewhere.
Yeah.
But give me an example of some of the candies that you have in the penny candy here.
Yeah. Well, for example, of course, we have our Tootsie Rolls, which I'm pretty positive they came out right around the same time as the Bee Mints. We have Mary Jane's. Another one I don't have right now, and I'm really hoping comes back, but is the Nico wafers. I don't know if you heard, like, it's the great Nico wafer crisis.
Yes.
So Nico did get sold to Spangler, and they're the company that makes candy canes. But I keep asking my suppliers, like, have you heard anything? Are they going to bring their products back? Like, I have a stock of Mary Jane's right now, so I'm okay with them for, I might have a couple months left. But they also made the Nico wafers, candy buttons, Clark bars, conversation hearts. So
yes.
There's a lot of things that company made. We're all hoping that it comes back. Yeah. But Nico is a very historic candy, the Nico wafers. And we do have a blog post on this as well. They were actually produced during the Civil War. Mm. The Civil War. And that company created the first industrial candy making machine, which was the lozenge cutter. So that was the first industrial candy that was created.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history, you know, whether you like it or you hate it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm going to have to read the blog now. I'm super interested in some of the history of some of these candies. Because you're right. It's like, you know, you sit there, look at the Tootsie Roll, and you feel like it's been around forever. And to know that there's a history behind it, you know, how it came to be and everything.
The other one I found that was really interesting was Peanut Chews. So they're produced in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's like Goldberg's, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
but they actually were in the rations for World War I for soldiers. Mm. So, and like, I never knew that. Oh, another one, Amanda found this, which was really interesting. Charms was in the rations for World War II, and there was actually, like, you know, the soldiers thought, well, if you eat a green charm, that means it's going to rain, or if you eat a red one, you better watch out, like, you could get injured. Like, there was, like, different superstitions with the different charms.
With the different colors or whatever.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is cool.
And anything World War II, we really enjoy. But we do go up in Reading. There's a huge World War II reenactment at the Reading Air Museum. Mm-hmm. And we're really lucky because they invited us. We go up every year and we set up a 1940s candy store up at the World War II reenactment.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we only have candy that would have been around in that era that event.
Oh, very cool.
But it's really fun because we all get to dress up and, you know, like 1940s.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So you have the penny candy here, and again, I know my audience can't see this, but there's 5 cent, 10 cent, 20 cent, 25 cent, 50 cent, dollar candy, so it's it's quite a few selections that are available here. All right, what else do you want to show me? This is cool.
Yeah, well, I love it. Of course, you know, I was talking to you before about our gummy bears,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, we normally have over 12 different flavors, but there's actually a gummy bear shortage right now, so I can only get 6 individual flavors.
Okay.
Which I know everyone laughs, but I swear it's true.
Okay.
The company actually is doing so well that they're having trouble keeping up with the demand.
Mm.
So this was a bummer, but over Christmas we weren't able to get any of the individual flavors, only the mix. We have a 12 flavor and a 6 flavored mix. But now they're slowly, I guess they've gotten caught back up, so they're slowly re-releasing the individual flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and one of our most popular ones is actually pink grapefruit.
And interesting.
I do have that in the 12-flavored mix, but it's not really sour, it's more sweet, but they just did a really good job with that flavor.
Yeah. I'm sitting there looking around. I'm like, yeah, I'll take a, you know, quarter pound of that, half pound of this. I'm looking at the jelly beans. I'm looking at the shoestring licorice.
Well,
yeah.
I definitely can do that for you.
Yeah, I know you can, and you will after this podcast. Well, trust me.
Everyone always comes in there like, give me one of everything. And I'm like, I can do that for you, but no one's followed through yet.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what else do you have here?
So down on the end, we have our hand-dipped ice cream, which right now we have 8 different flavors, but this has been a great addition to the store because every month we do different specials. So we just got through February, and for February we had a couple of our specials was, I had a dark chocolate raspberry milkshake. Also, I had a chocolate-covered strawberry sundae. So now we're coming into March. this coming weekend is our first event for March, which is our Girl Scout Cookie Sunday celebration. Mm-hmm. So for that, we're having the Boyertown Girl Scout troop is coming out, and they'll be here on Saturday and Sunday, and they'll be here selling the cookies. But then we also do 4 Girl Scout cookie inspired Sundays: thin mint, peanut butter patty, a shortbread, and caramel delight. When you come in and you get a sundae, we donate 50 cents back to the Girl Scout troop.
Nice. So for those listening, this episode is getting posted in April, so unfortunately the event would be in the past, but I think it's a wonderful example how you are using the calendar to inspire different events, mm-hmm. and then also, again, giving back to the community. And I'm sure you have other events that you do throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, actually, our biggest event is coming up. It's our leprechaun hunt. So for that, like, we couldn't believe this. Last year, we're pretty positive we had close to 1,000 people.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and what we did was we just have a map of Boyertown, and we mark on the map, like, where the leprechauns have been, and then we hide different things all around town. So, like, it might be a leprechaun shoe, a leprechaun house, and then you just walk around town looking for these items, and then when you find them, there's a riddle next to the item you have to solve. But that was great. Like, last year, I contacted the other businesses and let them advertise on the map. So, you know, like, the bakery did, like, a free cupcake. The bookstore did something where you get a gold coin when you come in. So it really turned into a community event.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's our next big one coming up. But we also do events like Float Frenzy. That will be in April, so that's probably right about the time this everyone will be listening. Mm-hmm. But for that, we do a whole menu. I think we have like 15 different floats that we created. Some are like throwbacks, like the brown cow and the egg cream. And then some are like special ones that we've created, like a chocolate covered cherry float.
Oh, cool.
We do a Wild West float.
Very nice. So the ice cream that you have here is Nelson's Dutch Farms ice cream. Mm-hmm. Nelson's been around since 1939, and some of the flavors they come out with are just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at a chocolate raspberry chip here.
Yep.
It's a chocolate ice cream with swirls of red raspberry sauce and chocolate chips. I mean, mint chocolate chip, cotton candy, Graham Slam, peanut butter cup.
The Graham Slam is actually our most popular flavor. So that one's amazing. And it's funny because when I added the ice cream in, one of my customers said, "You have to get Grand Slam." So, like, I went to another ice cream shop and tasted it, mm-hmm. you know, before we even started carrying the ice cream. And it's just graham cracker ice cream with swirls of, it's like a graham cracker pie crust and little chocolate covered graham crackers. Mm. So I always do free samples of that. And I would say 99% of the time, the person gets that ice cream.
Yeah, I would say so too. Yeah, it's it looks delicious.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
So next to the ice cream is we have our chocolates. And this was one of the things that was important to me. I wanted to carry like fine chocolates and truffles. But one thing I saw is that's the trend right now is we have a lot of like gourmet chocolate shops popping up, like people that are making their own chocolates, but they're not geared towards kids or family. It's more of like a high end, like you just come in, you get your high end chocolate, and then you head out. Like, I wanted to make sure we have that as an option, but I wanted this to be an experience when you came in. And that's why we kind of focus more on the nostalgic candy, you know, and having the experience when you come in. But we have the gourmet chocolates as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have to say, that's my go-to thing. Like, if I'm going to eat something, you know, if I'm going to eat candy while I'm here, mm-hmm. I eat the truffles.
You eat the truffles?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really good. We get those. They come all the way in from Vermont. And they use Vermont heavy cream in the ganache. So it's like a real light, crisp, airy chocolate, and mm-hmm. then it has a rich, creamy center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my go-to.
Yeah,
candy.
I mean, I'm looking at this selection here. I mean, you have walnut, turtle. What is this?
So
this
walnut turtle? Those we do actually make here. It's walnuts with caramel and then covered in milk chocolate.
Oh my gosh, that looks delicious.
So, yeah, I would say our most popular items though are our sea salt caramels, and then we also get in, this is from a different company, our peanut butter dreams. So it's just a really smooth, creamy peanut butter just dipped in chocolate. It's like a big square.
Okay.
So
very cool.
Sometimes I eat this too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how could you not?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not?
That's part of the job. You have to taste test.
I mean, I would be 400 pounds if I worked here.
Well, I did probably have to buy new clothes after I
went
to the
really?
Store. Yes.
Well, we have to get you maybe do a few laps around the
place.
Well, and
see, this is why I'm so involved in the community, because then I go to the Y to burn off
right,
the candy.
Right,
and the, you
right.
know.
Yeah. So. But you're right. You do have to try with what you're selling here. All right. So what's this little section we have here? I see some nostalgic stuff here as well.
Yeah. Pretty much on our the walls opposite of our chocolate case. That's where we have all our nostalgic candy, like our candy bar type candy. So this is where we were talking earlier, the peanut chews, the wax bottles, licorice pipes. It's funny, this one shelf here, I always joke, I always say, this is all the smoking candy.
Yes, I see that.
So, it was funny, when I first opened the store, I thought to myself, I'm not going to sell those candy cigarettes. I don't want to encourage that.
Right.
But then, you know who really asked for it? It was all the parents.
Oh, the parents.
Yeah, because, I mean, the kids don't really know what it is. It's the parents.
Well, I love the licorice pipes. And, I sit there and I put it in my mouth like I'm smoking a pipe. My wife looks over. She's like, what are you doing?
See, I guess that's why candy's so appealing, because it gives you, that opportunity to, act silly and, be like a kid
just
again.
Just have fun a little bit. Yeah.
Plus, the licorice pipes really are one of the best licorices, I think, because it's so soft.
I'll either the red or the black. It doesn't matter to me. I'll have both. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's funny, too, because I have the shelf back here. I'm trying to get it to be all licorice. So I'm about halfway there, because it's funny, people love their licorice. And I think it's one of those things, either you love it or you hate it. But if you love it, you're serious about it.
Yeah. Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, I'm a fan of licorice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so am I.
But it's funny, I'll have to let you try this then. The one time I get licorice from Holland, and I was just getting, the regular plain old black licorice, and accidentally I purchased a salted licorice one time. Mm. And the first time I tried it, I was like, I'm not really sure about this. It's hard licorice, and it just has a coat of salt on it.
Okay.
But it's really popular. I have people that drive to Boyertown to get that from me.
Interesting.
I guess because it's hard to find.
Yeah.
And
what about the Australian licorice? How do you feel about that?
I think it's good. I think everybody has their favorite. Right now, sometimes we do carry, it looks kind of like a honeycomb, and it's not black, it's different fruit flavored. But right now I do have in stock, we did just get in, this is a new candy that came out a couple years ago. It's Long Ball Licorice. So I really like this because it fits the theme of the store. It has Babe Ruth on it, and there's a black and a red. But this is made by the Kookaburra. This is the Australian licorice.
Okay.
But what I kind of think is cool, anybody that wants to go out and play baseball and pretend like you're chewing, it breaks into little plugs and you put it in your mouth like chew.
Okay.
And when you spit, it actually looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, so it's all baseball themed and it looks like it's in a tobacco pouch.
That's right. And you said this is Australian?
Yeah.
And you know what? Even though I'm not wild about Australian licorice, I'm probably getting one of these, to be honest with you, because I just love licorice. I love the nostalgia of it, the Babe Ruth round tripper licorice.
Yep. And that's what, like you said, that just fits with our theme of the store here.
Absolutely.
I would have to say our other most popular candy, a throwback candy, is the Clear Toy candy. Mm. And that's really popular around Christmas. I don't have that in the summer. It doesn't really hold up when it gets hot. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to find. So I think that's why it's so popular here.
Yeah.
But it's just an old-fashioned candy, and it has no flavor. It's just sugar-flavored. And it's made in the shapes of, little animals or toys. Mm-hmm. And, back when it was created, that's what a kid would get that. And it was a toy so they could play with it. But then it was also candy they could eat.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about playing with your candy before you eat it, but I guess
that's just what they did.
Yeah.
Tell me about what's in the refrigerator here. There's some, you got some specialty sodas, right?
Yeah, so we also carry a line of vintage sodas. We only carry sodas in glass bottles. So we have, right now we have Coke. We just got in a Coke with peach and raspberry. And then I was really excited, A-Treat. I'm sure if anyone's familiar with A-Treat, they closed for a while. Mm-hmm. They just got bought and they're coming back into production, but they came out with 4 flavors in the glass bottles. So we carry all 4 of those flavors, which is the birch beer, sarsaparilla, black cherry, and cream. Mm-hmm. So we have those, and we also carry soda from Reading Draft, which their soda is amazing. And the owner was explaining to me the one time how he carbonates it, and I wish I could remember what this is called, but he said they do it very slowly, and it's this old-fashioned way, but when you drink it, the bubbles are so small. It's not big and in your face.
Right.
The other thing he told me, like, you can leave it out on the counter for 2 days and it'll stay carbonated.
What?
Yeah, yeah, because the way they do it, it's really? So slow. Yeah.
I had no idea, because you're right. That's usually like a big issue when you're opening up a bottle of, mm-hmm. you know, like a 2 liter or something like that.
Yeah, it goes flat.
Yeah, it goes flat, like, next day. It's yeah. flat.
Yeah, he said it has something to do with the bubbles. Like, I guess when the bubbles are big, they escape quicker.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
But, yeah, so we carry all different kinds of soda from them. And, like, they use really good quality products when they're making the soda. Like, they don't use corn syrup. They use the sugar cane. So mm-hmm. it's just, and they have some great flavors, too. Like, it was funny they carry this all the time, but we usually get this in the fall. They have a pumpkin spice soda. And my daughter and I are pumpkin fans, mm-hmm. but one time we got pumpkin sausage, and it was disgusting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So we said, no, we took it too far.
Yeah.
So we got the pumpkin soda, and I thought, this is probably going to be like a repeat of the sausage.
Yeah.
And when we opened it up, we both tried it, and they did such a great job with it.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's more of like a vanilla cream, and it has that like hint of the pumpkin.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely they did a great job with that.
Yeah, everybody seems to be jumping on that pumpkin spice bandwagon. But, if you're right. If they can do it right, it's a good thing. If you can't do it, then...
Yeah, I don't recommend pumpkin sausage.
Yeah, no. That doesn't... I like sausage, but that doesn't...
Yeah, there's certain things...
Doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah. Just leave them apart.
Yeah.
So
what else you want to tell me about the store?
Well, I think, like I said, I think our main thing is when you come in, like, it's an experience. Like, we really love to see, my favorite thing is seeing, like, the grandparents bringing in their grandkids or, like, you know, people coming in and spending family time. Because in our world, people are so busy. Like, you don't get a lot of time just to come in and enjoy some time with your family and eat some ice cream, get some candy. Mm-hmm. But it was funny, the one time, well, when we first opened, we were in our other location, we had this little boy come in, and I always remember this. He walked in and he goes, "This is the best day of my life." So, like, that's the kind of stuff I really enjoy.
Sure, yeah, and hearing that, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just really enjoy being around kids. Like, you know, they're like, so honest and innocent, and mm-hmm. they, like, are really enjoying life, you know, right. especially when they walk in here,
yeah.
so.
And, you know, when you're younger, there are, you know, few things in life that make an impact on you that you actually remember, mm-hmm. you know, as you get older. So
yeah.
if people are walking into your space and you have a reaction like that from somebody young, there can't be a better feeling for you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me, what's the address? Tell me how they can contact you, where they can follow you on social media.
Sure. So we're located on the main street in Boyertown. It's 26 East Philadelphia Avenue, Boyertown, PA, 19512. We also have a website. It's www.peppermintstickcandystore.com. You can contact us through that. Also, you can kind of get a look at some things that we have here and, you know, our hours and that sort of stuff. We also have a Facebook and we have an Instagram as well.
Okay. So now, can folks actually order stuff
yes.
online?
Yeah, we are working on that right now. We do have some products up on our website, so we're always adding.
Okay.
But if there's something that someone's interested in, speaking of kids.
Rachel's son is in there. How you doing, buddy? He just grabbed some
ice cream.
Oh,
yes.
Some ice cream. Okay, yeah,
yes,
some Nelson's ice cream. Nice.
It's what's for breakfast, right?
It's absolutely. Absolutely. Why not, right?
Yeah, so. But, yeah, so we do have some products available, and we're always adding. But if there's something that you're looking for and you don't see, just, you know, email us or call. We very easily can just send you an invoice and ship it out to you.
Very nice. Very good. And I'll put your contact information in the show notes as well. So if folks aren't, you know, jotting this down while they're listening to it, they can certainly reach out to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we'd love that.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Also, if anyone's interested in getting anything built, my husband's website his company is Pennsylvania Craftsman Construction Company. As I was saying earlier, he specializes in historic, but he has a website as well. It's www.pennsylvaniapacraftsman.com.
PACraftsman.com. Yep. Okay, great. Yeah. And I would recommend, again, coming into the store. It's a great space. And then also, again, if you're looking to get in touch with Rachel's husband, what is his name, by the way?
Eugene.
Okay. Yep. So if you're looking to get in touch with Eugene, he does amazing work. This is excellent, especially the hutch there with the drawers that kind of come down on an angle there. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Very cool. So, All right, good. Well, thank you for being on the episode today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I really enjoyed spending the time with you.
Wasn't this cool?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to do it. And so for those who are interested in connecting with the podcast, I am on Instagram. You can just search for Off the Top of My Head Podcast. And if you're interested in connecting via email, if you wanted to be a guest or you wanted to give feedback on this episode or any other episode for that matter, feel free to send me an email at OTTOMHpodcast@gmail.com. That's OTTOMHpodcast@gmail.com. Rachel, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Phil.
All right. All right, everybody. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Until we connect again, all my best and bye for now. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Off the Top of My Head podcast. Who will I interview next? What will the topic be? And where will I record the episode? Please subscribe to be notified when a new episode is posted on your selected listening platform. Off the Top of My Head podcast, a podcast about anything and everything.